Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, at www.blueprintforwealth.org. And there I have videos, audio, and articles on tax topics, estate planning, and business planning topics that you might find of interest in doing your estate planning or business planning for the future. I also invite you to read my monthly column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth, where I will also feature topics that we discuss here on the radio, as well as other tax, estate planning, and business planning topics. Today, we're going to talk about the flat tax. Everybody's been talking about it in the news. Governor Perry from Texas proposed recently a flat tax in his campaign to become president of the United States. And the Republican candidate Herman Cain also was most recently came up with his 9-9-9 proposal, of which one of those nines refers to a flat tax that would be imposed on the income of individuals. The real question is, what is a flat tax? Where did it come from? Is this the first time we've heard about it? Many of us know that that's not the case. And what are its prospects for enactment in the United States? Well, a true flat income tax is a system of taxation where one tax rate, 9%, 10%, 20%, is applied to all income. And that means there would be no deductions and no exemptions and no credits. That would be a true or pure form of flat tax. There's also something known as a marginal flat tax. A marginal flat tax refers to a situation where you allow deductions in a flat tax system. That means there might be a deduction or exemption granted for certain things. It might also mean that you grant an exemption for low-income people so that they are not subject to the flat tax. So it's said to be marginally flat above the point where deductions are allowed. And this main conceptual difference between a true flat tax and a marginally flat tax is really the source of the debate that's going on in evaluating the efficacy, the ability of these taxing proposals to make it through not only the election cycle, but also the U.S. Congress. Now, there are flat taxes that allow for limited deductions. Modified flat taxes have been proposed, which would allow deductions for very few items, while still eliminating the vast majority of existing deductions. These are known as tax expenditures. Charitable deductions, home mortgage interest, are the most discussed exceptions, but not necessarily ones that will make the cut. These are popular with voters. They're often used to entice the voters to approve of a flat tax system. Another common theme is a single, large, fixed deduction. The concept here is that a blanket deduction rolls up a myriad of ubiquitous fixed living costs and has the simplifying side effect that many low-income people will not have to file tax returns under this type of a system. Years ago, the Hoover Institute introduced a form of flat tax on consumption. It's known as the Hall-Robuschka flat tax, and it was really a consumption tax imposed by taxing income and then excluding all investment. All the way back in 1962, the noted economist Milton Friedman, in his book Capitalism and Freedom, also discussed the possibility of imposing a flat tax, except his system assessed a flat tax with personal deductions, but when deductions exceeded the income, the taxable income was allowed to go negative rather than just resulting in a zero tax, and the flat tax rate was then applied to this negative income and resulted in a negative income tax that the government had to pay back to the individuals or to the households. Anyway, the hard part in a flat taxing system is, first of all, what income is going to be subject to this tax? The central philosophy of the tax is to minimize compartmentalization of incomes into many different special or sheltered classes or cases. And this is a problem in today's income tax code. So, for example, the taxation of interest income and stock dividends are right now treated differently under our code. Interest income is taxed at a much higher rate, while stock dividends, under the recent legislation that was extended and under President Bush's tax proposals, stock dividends are taxed at a much lower rate. The shareholders own the company, and so the company's profits belong to them. If a company is taxed on its profits, then the funds paid out as dividends arguably already have been taxed, so that's why dividends are given a more preferential treatment. It's a debatable question. It's debatable whether they should subsequently be treated as income to the shareholders again, and therefore subject to what we call double taxation. In any event, the question is, what income is subject to this tax? Well, one proposal that has been floated recently was to tax only earned income. That was Steve Forbes' proposal back in the 1980s. Remember when he ran for president? And his proposal was to tax only earned income. What's earned income? Wages, salaries, bonuses. But his proposal would not have taxed interest or dividends. Now, some argue that that is not the sole basis on which to run for president of the United States, and I think that was one of the stumbling blocks to Mr. Forbes, who is a noted publisher and very in tune with economic theory, but he may have had some other deficiencies. In his case, however, in his defense, the flat tax proposal on earned income has gained recent support. For example, Sam Brownback of Kansas was one that proposed a flat tax in the mid-2000s that would have imposed this tax only on earned income and not on unearned income, such as interest and dividends. The second key component of a flat tax theory is to minimize the need to have deductions. So the question is how to eliminate deductions, and that is absolutely fundamental to a flat tax system. Deductions will dramatically affect how flat the tax is. Perhaps the single biggest necessary deduction is for business expenses. If businesses were not allowed to deduct expenses, then businesses with really low profit margins, in fact, perhaps below the flat tax rate, could never earn any money, since the tax on their revenues would always exceed their earnings. For example, take grocery stores. I don't know if you know this, but most grocery stores really only earn pennies on every dollar of revenue, perhaps excepting Whole Foods. They could not pay a tax rate of, say, 25% on revenues unless their markup on their goods sold, including all the labor that they have to pay, exceeds 25%. So corporations have to be able to deduct their operating expenses if individual citizens cannot. The difficulty is how to identify what is a business expense that is legitimate enough to be deducted even under a flat tax system that applies to corporations. The other way of looking at it is, well, perhaps this flat tax system should only be applied to individuals. Herman Cain's proposals would have included a 9% flat tax on individuals without real definition as to what he's taxing or whether he's allowing any deductions or exemptions. But it also would impose a 9% tax on businesses. Again, he hasn't really provided enough details yet for us to understand whether or not he's going to allow deductions. Now, the other issue in a flat tax system is equity, fairness of distribution across the population. Tax distribution across varying income levels is probably the most hotly debated aspect of a flat tax system. the Democrats oppose it because they feel that it's not fair to focus a flat tax rate on extremely wealthy individuals at the same rate that individuals who are very low income would be taxed at. The controversy over the equity of the distribution of this taxing system is really divided into implementation and philosophy. One of the concerns with many flat tax systems is that they're really not truly flat taxes. And if that's the case, it's a progressive tax system like the one we have currently, one where the tax rate on total income actually goes up as income increases. The admission that such a tax is not actually flat actually undermines the whole notion of a flat tax system. So a true flat tax system has few deductions and few exemptions and really doesn't increase as income increases. The people who favor the flat tax system say that a marginal single rate is fairer than stepping up the marginal tax rate as income increases because everybody's paying the same proportion of their income. The people who oppose this philosophy, usually it's the Democrats, claim that the marginal value of income declines with the amount of income. In other words, $100 to a poor family is worth a lot more to them than $100 is worth to a millionaire. Clearly, this debate is going to continue throughout the election cycle and may have a substantial impact on who gets elected in the next presidential election. If you've got questions on taxes in general, or how flat taxes might work, or how it might affect you going forward, give us a call at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.